الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for some time with his remembrance, with his dhikr, he has given us the ability to do his dhikr, to remember him. This is such an action, such an amal that is extremely beloved to Allah. It is so beloved to Allah that when a gathering is formed for the dhikr of Allah, then Allah ta'ala mentions those people in his special gathering. So I consider that better than the whole world and the universe, these few moments, alhamdulillah, with regards to our akhirah, it is a very big wealth and treasure that we have attained for thereafter. My friends, this is not about a few moments. It's not about a few minutes or a little bit of time. It's regarding our iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity, and this is with regards to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should have this much at least understanding and awareness. There's not a few moments, rather our whole lives, every minute of our life should be attached to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala wants this as well, that my servant, that not for a moment should he be negligent of me, should he forget me. Because when a person becomes ghafil, he forgets Allah, it's as if he has passed away. One moment if a person is ghafil, forgets Allah, then in the kitab of Allah he is recorded as a person who is deceased. What a big example, the examples of the pious predecessors is there for us to see. Now we, in the world, we are so busy in the world and the dunya that we don't understand these words. And that time or those times when a person is recorded as the person who's passed away, then when he goes to the akhirah, then what accounts will he give for those moments where he is cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Person 70 years of age, minus all of the moments in life when a person is negligent and lazy and away from the remembrance of Allah, all those years of time will be recorded as a person who's deceased or not living. Then what amal will we have left to present? So we should think about this a lot. We should always be busy and occupied in the remembrance of Allah. We should be focused on Allah. We live in the world, we live in the dunya, but according to our needs, even that time, don't forget Allah. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned it many times. Allah Ta'ala has reminded us, Allah Ta'ala has encouraged us, that when you're free from salah, remember me. When you go to sleep, remember me. When you wake up, remember me. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala has given this understanding basis that you, when you stand, sit, walk, whatever you're doing, wherever, that you should be focused on my dhikr, on my remembrance. Allahu Akbar. Okay, what benefit is Allah Ta'ala getting from us doing dhikr? That Allah Ta'ala has so many angels from on every square millimeter, they're doing the dhikr of Allah with their blessed tongues, with their blessed voices. And forget about the angels, there's nothing amongst the creatures and the nature living from the everything Allah Ta'ala has created. Their whole life is based on dhikr of Allah. Remember, if they don't remember Allah, then they'll die. When a leaf falls off a tree, it falls off the tree at that time when it's lazy or doesn't do the dhikr of Allah, then its maut comes, its death comes. So this is our hisab, like a person goes to see a house, to view a house. And when he sees the house, he says, this is very nice, this house, it's very attractive, and the tiles are new, the decorations, oh, how much is this worth? Oh, give this much please, if you can. You say, but it's a very good house, very beautiful, very attractive, the paint is nice, the condition is good. He says, okay, fine, let's do a deal, I agree. Okay, he takes the house. He buys the house, very nice, shining, sparkling, decorated, fresh, clean. Comes inside, and after a few days he sees that the paint is peeling off and the damp from within is showing. He says, eh, what's this? He realizes that on top of the damp, he put a lick of paint, and he put the wallpaper, nice decorative wallpaper, so that it conceals the defects within, and he sold the house. And we're stuck. We're stuck. So my friends, remember this point. The example that I've given to you is the example of the akhirah. That there's no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do zahiri amal. We prayed salah, we've done dhikr, we'll read Quran, tilawat, tabliq, and ta'aleem, and education. And this is all continuing, mashallah. Yes, all these amal, Allah has given us the tawfiq to do this. But Allah ta'ala said something on top of this, in parallel to this, that these amal that you're doing, don't make them your be-all and end-all and just make them look attractive and sparkle. That when you come to me with these amal, Allah says, I will look at one underlying factor which the Qur'an has explained. What is that hukum Allah said I gave in the Qur'an? I gave you the instruction that when I look at your deeds and the transaction that will take place in the after, I won't just look at your amal just like that house that looks sparkling and clean and decorated, and I'll put a price on it. Allah says, I will send a person to Jahannam, he'll come with amal, but I will see that how much damp is within these amal. I will see the damp, I will see the defects, and in reality when the deeds are presented to Allah, then the paper will peel off. Our zahiri amal will peel off like that crumbling wool. Allah says, has explained this in the Quran, that correct your zahir and your batin. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just want the external deeds. Allah says, annihilate your batini sins, your internal sins and zahiri. That's when a person can go and say that his deeds will have a value. If we go with the damp and the defects, then all our amal, they will show their reality in the hereafter because of the sins that are within, inherent within. This is Allah's hukum, instruction, that clean your batin, purify your batin, purify your soul, purify your nafs. Not just this, that we do zahiri amal, lots of external deeds and stack up the deeds, and we don't focus on our inner state. So the batin, our inner state, our soul, it is more important than the zahir, because the acceptance of our zahiri deeds will be reliant on the cleanliness of the soul. If we have lying, backbiting, hasad, envy, anger, dunya, and everything within us is spoilt, contaminated, we're praying salah and we're doing wrong actions, and inside so many sins are inside, we've got ghibat and backbiting and envy and gossip mongering and anger within us and fraud and lying, and all of these things are stacked upon within us. And dhahiri we correct for the sake of what will the dunya say to us when they see us. We have to, isn't it? That it's all just a play. Yes, for the sake of the dunya, we improve ourselves dhahiri, that let me present myself nicely so he didn't say anything to me. What we realize here is that we are more worried about what other people think about us, our image. But what about inside? What's our akhlaq in the home? What's our akhlaq or conduct with the wife and the children, with our relatives, with our friends, with our colleagues? How quickly does anger come? How quickly does nonsense come from our tongues and mouths? One wrong thing, when it is uttered from the tongue, it spoils all of the amal. One lie destroys a person. One lie, one act of ghibat, backbiting, it's as if you are eating the flesh of your real brother. This is the punishment. This is the punishment. So this is not what we want. We don't want damp, and that we try to conceal the damp, because this will not work. We need to work hard, make effort on our batin, on our inner state, on our nafs, on our souls, on our spirits. Because when we go to Allah, then the fragrance of the batin should come out and smell fresh and look nice, and will be stood in the court of Allah. Then Allah will immediately then accept our zahiri external deeds as well and send us to paradise, if our inner state is correct. And these defects never get eliminated automatically. Just by sitting down, if a person smokes a cigarette, you try to kill off that habit. And the habit of smoking, okay, when Ramadan comes, few days a person stops smoking, then after that he resumes. So this is more dangerous, lying, ghibat, backbiting, hasad, envy. How do we get these habits out of our inner state? If they're all the time, until we don't make effort, how will these diseases go? And as long as they are within us, then even the angels don't come close to us. They don't include it in our du'as. Yes, because there's a stench, a smell coming from within. He's a liar, fraudster, he will speak rubbish, he will say wrong, etc. So for this we need to work hard, make effort, and we need to look at our batin, our inner state. When Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do a good deed, then we should protect it. I should protect my good deeds And I need to free my thoughts and my tongue and my inner state from impurities and sin, so I don't give any hardship to anyone. So these habits, bad habits, can be eliminated. They will. Allah, if He's given us the hukam to eliminate bad deeds and bad habits, then obviously it's possible to remove them. Allah Ta'ala says, when you step forth on the journey, then Allah says, I will assist you and take the wrong habits out of your life. Make effort. So if today we make niyyah that I'm not going to lie after today, and I try and I make niyyah, I will not lie after today. There's a tariqah for this. That the method to clean ourselves, purify ourselves within, the tariqah from the Quran and the hadith, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned how to purify ourselves. Nothing can wash our batin. Nothing can clean our inner state. Except for one thing. For example, a carpet every day, if you vacuum the carpet, vacuum cleaner, Hoover, if 3 days you don't do it, the dust will come, the impurities will come, and that will go into our nose, into our nostrils and mouths. So have we ever cleaned our inner state so that we don't get any complaints? That, and we say, Allah, we don't know how to clean ourselves. Allah says, I've told you, kullu shayin sakinatan sakinatal qalb bi dhikrillah. That everything has a cleaning agent, and the cleaning agent for the qalb, for the heart, is dhikr of Allah. That everything, Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared to wash everything. So Allah Ta'ala says that, do you think I have not prepared to clean your batin? I've not given you water? I've not given you a cleaning agent? But if you don't understand, what can I do? Allah says, Allah Ta'ala said that I've prepared for you to be washed inside. And what was that? The method, the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. That's why Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, all ibadat, acts of worship, they are there, but the unique action is the dhikr of Allah, which we are desperately in need of. Desperately in need of. Just like in our lives, what we are desperately in need of, we, for example, what we need, essentials in life, do we have to buy those things? Do we have to buy air and oxygen? We need to breathe and we exhale carbon dioxide. Do you have to go and buy it? Or can you give me £1 or £2 of oxygen because I need to breathe tonight? No. Allah has given us open, limitless amount. Allah Ta'ala said that from the trees, they breathe out oxygen because we needed it. So Allah Ta'ala gave this to us. In the same way, we are desperately in need for the dhikr of Allah. The rest of the ibadat, Allah Ta'ala has put a limit on. That I don't want to give you burden. Just pray 5 times, go to sleep, successful. Yes, you don't need to go hajj every day. Do hajj once in your life, enough. Allah says 30 fasts in Ramadan, if you implement them correctly, that's good. And I don't need to give you to give all your money, the percentage of zakat, give me that. Allah says that's enough. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has not put a limit anywhere, isn't Allah made it easy? La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. But, illa wusaha. But where Allah Ta'ala said that what your desperate need of air to breathe, water to drink, those things we are in need of to live, Allah is Khaliq, Malik, Khabir, and Basir. He knows what we need to live. Just like for the dahir and the batin, what do we need? Allah has given us hukam. Ya ayyuhaladheena amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Allah says, sabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. هُوَ الَّذِي يُسَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ Allah says, لِيُخْرِجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا Allah has given the instruction, very clear assistance. How can we clean our batin? Allah says, do dhikr in abundance if you want to be from the successful people. Wherever Allah Ta'ala has mentioned dhikr in the Qur'an, His remembrance, there's a condition. Don't just do 2 tasbih, 3 tasbih, I've done a lot of dhikr. No. Allah says in my kitab, you're not included as a dhakir. In my kitab, the dhakir is that person who remembers me abundantly, regularly, high quantity in the world. And what is kathir and kathira then? Abundantly. What's the definition? That, for example, we put the SIM in the telephone and it's written, this SIM has 2 hours free credit, 2 hours or 4 hours free. One is unlimited, without any limits. What does unlimited mean? That there's no limit, no upper limit. So Allah says, unlimited dhikr I want you to do, unlimited dhikr. No counting, no tasbih, no leaving it, no nothing at all. You shouldn't count it, Allah Ta'ala said. You don't need to count it. I don't want you to count how much dhikr you're doing, that how much are you remembering. Allah says, I don't like that. You don't do dhikr for the sake of counting. Is this something? Are you remembering someone in the world? If you're remembering Allah and you're counting, how much? I give you breaths, I give you ni'mas and oxygen, etc. And I give you a limit. Allah says, Allah give me money and wealth and awlad. Please give me openly. When it comes to remembering me, you just take a tasbih and count the beads. Allah says, no, I don't need you. Allah says, but in your heart have put such a mechanism, your heart will continue to beat and it will remember me. What is that? That kathir and dhikr, where does it come from? That maraqabah that you've just done. Qalbi dhikr, silent dhikr. Remembering Allah in your hearts, Allah says, that's what you need to learn to do. This is ilm. It's a knowledge. It's a subject. So brothers, the point here, we need to understand, we should focus on this, on dhikr of Allah, dhikran kathira, silent dhikr of Allah. Allah has given us the tariqah, the method to purify our batin, inner state. We should utilize that method, not follow our opinions and methods. Oh, this is enough. No, the tariqah has been told to us in the Quran, in the hadith. The Sahaba Karam have done this, and the noble companions did this. Our pious predecessors did this, our elders did this. And that's the method for our lives. The cleanliness of the batin, purification of batin. This is such a mujahid, alhamdulillah, that mujahida doing dhikr will not make you stop progressing in the world. Rather, it will give you progression in the dunya. Remember this, every action Allah Ta'ala has given us life in the world according to our capacity. Someone's a doctor, an engineer, someone's wealthy, a businessman. If everybody was to take one profession, that I'm going to be a butcher, then all shops would be butcher shops and we wouldn't be selling anything else. But Allah has given everybody a liking, an attraction. A doctor, he doesn't want to be an engineer. No, I don't like it. He's capable, yeah? And if somebody doesn't want to be anything, he will go into a technical job that I'll work on computers. So Allah has put differentiation. And the same thing is there in the deen. Somebody has got the taste of hadith, of Quran, of doing tabligh, of doing some other subject matter of Islam. Every subject matter and career path is different. So that Islam continues to spread and prosper. Allah Ta'ala hasn't put anything higher or lower than anything else. It depends on your passion, your desire, your liking. And then you start to follow that path where you have that liking and desire. And if you force somebody, then he'll go for a few days, but that's not his taste, his design, liking. He said, no, I enjoy it more doing this. So in the same way, there are many different paths and subjects in the deen. There are no restrictions of any sort that work on these days and then don't work on these days, or you don't need to do dhikr. Dhikr is unique and independent of all of the actions of the deen. Dhikr doesn't have any subject matter or career path or a separate line or a series or an order. No, dhikr is the method to purify the heart so a person can implement the deen. For example, you like to study hadith or teach hadith, Allah says do that, but don't forget me at the same time. Do dhikr at the same time. If you like Quran, education Quran, fine, do dhikr. Tabligh, essential to do dhikr at the same time. Dhikr can never cease. If you stop doing dhikr, then whatever action or work of the deen you're doing, then dirt will come into that. Contamination will come to that. Nafs, desires, takabbur, pride, arguments, clashes, and disputes and quarrels. And that's the reason why today, ikhtilaf, difference of opinion and clashes come to the deen. When dhikr of Allah stops, purification of the batin stops, in dirt and impurities come, nafs comes up higher, and then quarrels come. Good work of the deen stops and the quarrels begin. So according to Allah's hukum, we need to do the work of the deen. Because we leave the dhikr of Allah, then that work of the deen, it suffers. Wherever we see in the Quran, wherever action you do, whatever actions you do in life, do it with dhikr of Allah. Noor will come into that, progression will come into it, and that work will improve and give off good benefits. So to do dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has given us hukum, order. The dhikr you need to do that in high quantity. And how do you do dhikr and kathira? Not from your mouth. That if you do dhikr from your mouth, whatever we have to do. But the heart is such a mechanism that when you start to do dhikr in your heart, and when you sleep in the night, you won't sleep on your own. Rather, your heart will continue to remember Allah. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامُ وَقَعُودُ عَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah's put a condition. Do you understand the point? So for this, we need to concentrate, focus, work hard. For example, if you're ill, you need to go to the doctor, the physician, isn't it? So a person who's a physician, who understands the body of a stomachache, so will I go to the sweet shop? They'll say, what do you want? Do you want laddu, barfis, gulab jamun? MashaAllah, I've made this new today. You say, no, I've got pain in my stomach. You'll laugh. You say, why have you come here then? If you've got a stomachache, go to your GP, general practitioner. Why have you come here to the sweet shop? You're stupid, aren't you? Coming to me, I'm not going to cure your malady. So if we want to learn dhikr, which is essential for us, then those who are the people who teach dhikr, the uloom, Allah Ta'ala has given them the uloom, the knowledge, go to him, say, Hazrat Sheikh Sahib, tell me, I want to learn the dhikr of the heart. And you'll put your hand in his hand, just like the GP takes your hand, measures the pulse, and the Sheikh will say, what's your taste? What do you like to do? You say, I study hadith, I teach hadith, I propagate Islam, I do tabligh, etc. The Sheikh will say, fine, that's good. He'll take all the detail of the personal life and the career path and the subject matters that the person's implementing. Then according to that person's lifestyle, his schedule, daily schedule, he'll give him a program of dhikr and he'll say, go, continue what you're doing and remember Allah at the same time. What a beautiful action, isn't it? Then he'll teach dhikr the shaykh, and he'll prescribe dhikr, the quantity, when to do it. Alhamdulillah, that individual, that Muslim, he starts to succeed in his work. This is the history of our deen. This was the life of the Sahaba ikram. Alhamdulillah, there's nothing to argue about, quarrel about. But you don't get this from your home. Oh, I'll purify my heart myself. How can you purify yourself? It can never occur. Where will it come from in your heart, your qalb? How can it automatically start to function and do the glory? You have to go to a wali, a sheikh, the master of the nafs of the qalb. Fi qulubihim maradun fazadahumullahu marada. The heart is full of disease, darkness, and illnesses. That's why Allah Ta'ala said that you'll have heard a common statement. I heard this from people. Oh, I pray Salah, I read Quran, I recite Quran law, I have been on tabligh, I've done chilla, but I feel upset. I don't have a peace of heart. I can't sleep in the night. There's no barakah, etc. What's the reason for this? The reason is this, that our heart is dark. Our qalb is sealed, it's padlocked. The dirts and impurities and contamination has all stacked up. As soon as you wash the heart and the dirt comes out, then suddenly you feel refreshed. You'll start to see the goodness in your ibadah, your du'as, in tabligh, in ta'aleem. MashaAllah, you'll feel happy and satisfied and good. So this is everything that is attained by doing dhikr of Allah. So with regards to this, we need to work hard. This is the luggage for thereafter, the dhikr of Allah. It's cure, it's a medicine, and there's thawab at the same time. There's thawab at the same time. Great thawab with regards to the hereafter. What a great statement of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallam, there will be a group of people who will laugh and smile. Ajeeb. There'll be a group of people who will laugh and walk into paradise. This is written in Fazail Amal. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith has narrated this. The Sahaba Akram said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, who will these people be? So easy at the time of severity and hardship. We cannot imagine how severe. The day of Qiyamah, 50,000 years in duration, in such a day that the heavens and the earth will be hot, sweltering and sweating, and human beings will be sweating, drowning in the sweat. And there will be blood tears coming out of the eyes. The tears, there will be blood coming out of the eyes. People will be struggling, crying, shrieking. Darkness, intense darkness that we will not be able to see around us. So much darkness. And in that environment, there will be a group of people who will laugh and smile and walk into paradise. This is hadith. The Sahaba Akram will say, Ya Rasulullah, who will those people be? Rasulullah said, those people remembered Allah in the dunya. Why? Why? Ya Rasulullah, that how comes they got this status? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu replied that they remembered Allah, and at the same time their burden was lightened in the world, the burden of their sins. Because dirt accumulates if we leave the home, go in the world, then for example your clothes get dirty, you take them home, the clothes, and wash them. But the dirt inside us is gathering, accumulating, we don't wash it. That's why Allah has given hukam, do dhikr and kathir, but be cautious of one thing, that morning and evening regularly do my dhikr, regularly. وَاذْكُرُوا kathir كَثِيرًا Ya أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Do it in the morning and in the evening, and do it in abundance, and be regular and steadfast in your dhikr. So what a great statement. Allah says, oh you who believe, remember me in abundance, morning and evening. Moon evening. And Allah says that when the human being starts to do this action, what a great reward. Allah says, me and my angels send rahmah, mercy on those people or that person who's remembering. This is Quran. So it starts from the world. Allah's rahmah and mercies. Allah says, not just me, but when I send my rahmas, my mercies, then all of my angels, for those people who are the dhakireen, they do dua for istighfar. They do istighfar on their behalf and do dua for them. And Allah says, يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. That all the dhulamat and oppression, darkness, shirk, bid'at, innovation, dhulam, we lie, deceived, dirty, modest actions, fraud. Every action of sin is a dhulm, oppression. Allah says, يُخْرُجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. The next inam reward is that all of the dirty sins inside you, I eliminate them, extract them, and I transfer that all into noor. And your life becomes noor. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that those who do the dhikr of Allah, then noor is there. But we don't see this today. We complain, oh, there's no noor, they're swearing, they're wasting time, they don't do good actions. But Rasulullah said, the dhakireen, the noor in their lives is such, and the Quran promises this. that after taking the data, when Allah puts nur into the heart, that nur is such that when on the day of judgment they will return to Allah, then their faces will be shining and sparkling, that the whole of the day of Hashr will be seen, that they will say, Allah, who are these people? Who are these people? Are they Nabis, Prophets, Shuhada? Allah will say, this is that qawm that I promised nur for these people. These are those who remembered me, did the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. So brothers, will we do dhikr? Look, it's your choice, but that's the benefit. Learn dhikr, qalbi dhikr. Dhikr of the heart. The heart, how should you put the tasbih to the side? Yes, that's for children. Kids play. Kids play. 5 tasbih, 3 tasbih. This is all kids play. There's no link with dhikr and kathira. Make your heart do the tasbih. Allah, 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 Allah. Regularly. And you will do dhikr kathira and kathira. That your heart should be attached to Allah. Not a moment, a second should you be ghafil. No second. If you do dhikr from your tongue, then from that tongue you're doing backbiting. From the tongue you're saying subhanallah, then you do fraud. And you start swear to others. And speak nonsense and rubbish for a few moments. But when you do dhikr from your heart, then alhamdulillah, what will come out of your heart? Allah, 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 Allah will come out of the heart. And if you control, remember the heart controls the body. It's the king of the body. It controls the body and gives the orders for the body, the motions of the body, that when the blood is pumped around the body, it pumps around the body through the veins, then it comes back through the veins, through the valves into the heart. And then the oxygen is pumped, is absorbed into the blood, and then it's pumped again through the body. So every drop of blood, where does it come from? It comes through the valves and the portions of the heart. So a person who is doing dhikr of the heart, dhikr al-qalb, then with every beat of the heart, he's saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And if he's doing Allah, Allah with every beat of the heart, then every drop of blood, it says Allah, and it leaves the heart and it's pumped around the body. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is stated in the waqiyats, in the events, in the historical events. Just some days ago, I told my friends that there was a wali Allah sheikh, and he had linked with tabligh, propagating the deen. He was a dhakir, he did a lot of dhikr. And he had an operation on the heart. And this is Karachi. And I know him. And when the operation was conducted, the doctor came out. He was doing open heart surgery, the doctor. And he said, what did this elder do? He asked his wife, family, what did he do? They said that he said we're doing the heart operation, and there's an ajeeb condition of his heart. Unique, because he was a Muslim doctor. His heart is saying Allah, Allah. And his family said that's what he did all his life long. Allah, Allah, Allah in the heart. And the surgeon came out of the theater. He was shocked and surprised. I've never seen a heart like this, energetic and remembering Allah. Reciting Allah's name. Allahu Akbar. So the heart is like, Allah's made the heart for this reason, to remember Him, to remember Allah. And that Allah says that it's better you do yaqeen in me now. And should we give examples all the time, real life examples? In history, sometimes Allah shows miracles. In the days of laziness, Allah shows the rewards of doing dhikr, good deeds, or punishments of sins. We don't see these things all the time. We should have yaqeen, certainty on Quran. Hadith, the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not necessary that I see these things and have yaqeen. No, not necessary. So inshallah, after today, let's make a promise. Two things. Morning and evening, we'll do dhikr of Allah. And the tariqah of this is that go to wali Allah, learn maraqaba, which is dhikr, kathira, learn dhikr of the heart, then sit alone, whatever is your amount, whatever you work of the deen, do teaching Quran, hadith, ilm, tabligh. When you're free from that, then Allah says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْسَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. When you're free from your occupation, and when you're free from what you do and you're busy, then come to my dhikr, come to my remembrance. Your work of the day is finished, you've done your tabligh, your work. Allah says, what do you do now? Don't sit down and empty handed, come back towards me. Allah says, come back to my remembrance and start doing dhikr of Allah. So then do maraqbah, close your eyes and sit for a little while and do Allah, 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 and do dhikr. Allah knows, His servant knows, and how much you're doing, and Allah knows that He'll give the success. The more effort we make, the more Allah Ta'ala will give the success from that effort. And the sins will be extracted, removed, good deeds will come to your life, your heart will start to change and improve, and nur will come, and your feelings will improve. May Allah Ta'ala give me, us all, the whole ummah, the tawfiq, that we do the work of the deen, we understand our lives, the objective, we prepare for death. And there shouldn't be a time that on the day of judgment we're embarrassed, we're trying to hide our sins. We should be pure, clean, according to the Quran, hadith, according to Sharia, we should live our lives. Every action of ours should be according to the sunnah. Every action should be according to the sunnah, walking, talking, standing. listening, I was, our form, libas, appearance, everything, we shouldn't see, where am I not, I'm just a ghulam of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am his ghulam, I'm his follower, I'll wear the same libas, I'll make my face the same, I'll have the same habits, the same akhlaq. Wherever I go, everything is the earth, the planet earth is Allah's, but don't leave the deen of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest deen. When the world worker, when sunnah is discussed, no, this is sunnah, this is also sunnah what I'm doing. What do you mean this is also? Whatever is sunnah, we're going to do. That's it. Imamah is the great, great sunnah. Great sunnah. Why don't you wear the imamah? 70 times more thawab for salah. Yes. Yes, I know you can pray salah with topi, and people pray salah without topi. You'll see them. But why don't they read up and understand that those actions due to which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be happy, that in this country they're reviving my sunnah? Rasulullah will be happy. But why don't you do it? I'm ashamed, people. What will they say to me? Yes, we need to break this idol. This idol has come into us. This is the idol of shame. Feeling of shame. We're not ashamed when we do immodest actions or speaking nonsense or swearing at other people or leaving salah. We don't feel ashamed. But when the work of the sunnah comes, when the word of sunnah comes, oh, I'm ashamed. When the practice soon comes, shame. Those who don't pray or wear imamah, make niyyah. This is not a drama deen, an act deen. Allah's hukum is when my message comes to you and you understand, is lazim that you start doing amal on that knowledge. Allah says, I am the one who gave you rahmah. I gave you the fadl. I am the one who saves you from jahannam. I am the one who takes you to rahmah. That's why I send you to such a majalis and gathering to such a place where my message comes to you. Is delivered to you. This doesn't mean that if you come to listen to a story, that we think the Quran is a story and we start joking about everything. When you open the Quran, then the hukum of the Quran is such that when you open me, the hukum that's coming, start to do amal on that Quran. Otherwise, I have no link with you, Allah Ta'ala says, the Quran says. This is not fiction, some story book. Allah's majalis, the majalis of dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr, tabligh, that they are gatherings of maqsad, objective. Who dares? How can I dare to sit here? How can I be permitted to sit here? Or you sit here, or you come? Could we sit here without Allah's permission? How can I dare that I leave my home and come here to sit in the dhikr of Allah? This is Allah's fadl and karam. If we all, if everyone was able to come, permitted to come, how many hundreds of thousands of people live here? Muslims and others as well who come. Allah says no, but whoever I like and prefer, that person will come towards the deen. Yes, so this is proven today. Those people who are sat here, two messages Allah has given. Two messages. And these are the beloved of Allah, the mahbub of Allah who are sitting here. Such a big message of sunnah and the dhikr of Allah that Allah has given to us today. We should be grateful. Allah, my Rabb, I'm so grateful to your karam, mercy, that you are saving me from Jahannam, or cooling down the fire of Jahannam that I was destined for. You gave me a big message. I was arrogant on my wrong actions. After today, on my head will be the imamah. We shouldn't leave it. Why? Allah has given a message. Encouraged us. We don't take options. We have to take the sunnah as compulsory in our life. Not, oh, there's gunjaish here, or there's a let off here, there's an option here. No, we have to say we want all the rules. We say, oh, this is enough. Salah. Where's the sunnah gone? Where's the sunnah gone? And the amount, the levels of a person will increase. Remember, in the hereafter, I tell you clearly today, salah is 5 times a day. Salah is 5 times a day. And you'll get the reward of that 5 times salah. Hajj is one. You'll get the thawab of the Hajj if you did the Hajj. But that person, fine, he will get the highest status. There are so many levels of Jannah, more than 100. So how will we get those levels of Jannah? All of those levels will be attained by doing amal on the sunnah, practicing the sunnah. That in the life, the person, the more he did amal, practice the sunnah, his eating, his sleeping, his walking, wearing the shoes, when he's changing clothes, in the same way that wear it on the right, take it off on the left, wearing the shoes, going in the toilet, coming out of the toilet, eating food, speaking to somebody, personal life, applying surma, doing miswak, every action he's being careful. That what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? His whole life is the breath of his life for that person. In every breath of his life follows the sunnah, Allah has given that person Jannah. This is not a drama. Not words, empty words, just talking. Amal, amal, action. This is the life of action. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Wa man ahabbani. What a great statement. Ashik Rasul, we also say ashiks. Allah's Nabi says made a decision in Mishqat. That my ashik, my lover is that person. Subhanallah. Man ahabba sunnati. That person who loves my sunnah. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loves my sunnah, he will be my ashik. And Nabi, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then I will also love that person. I will also implement my love with that person. What will my love be? I will take that person's hand and take him into paradise with me. And what that time, what will we say when we're embarrassed? Yes, at that time what would we do? Our beards are so short and trimmed, they don't extend beyond that length. Yes, we don't let it grow even further than that. We don't allow it to grow further than that. We shorten it. So all of success is hinged on sunnah. And if we're not practicing the sunnah, then our hearts are black and dirty, and we don't have the ability to practice. We do a few deeds to show the world. That's a damp course. It's a course of damp. After today, make two promises. Two promises. Promise number one, that we will strengthen our hearts. If our hearts are strong, then our iman will be strong. If iman is strong, then first and foremost, when the iman is strong, then the person recognizes the subhanallah, Subhanallah Rasulullah through whom we learnt iman. When iman is strong, then we appreciate Rasulullah. That's why the elders of pious predecessors have stated that the sign of strong iman is that person's life is a total reflection of the sunnah. Imamah will come every moment of that person's life. His words, his deeds will be a reflection of the sunnah. The more his iman is strong, then the practice of the sunnah will be strong, and that's a testimony that his iman is strong. He's stopped worrying about the dunya and the words of the people and mockery, and now he's obeying Allah and his Rasul, and the iman is strong, and this is the sign. So if we don't have sunnah in our lives, then where will iman come from? Tell me. There's no strength of iman. So we'll do the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, and our hearts will become strong. If the heart becomes strong, then iman will be strong. And if iman is strong, then the whole life will be a reflection of Sharia and Sunnah. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq, that whatever we spoke about, discussed and heard, me and you and the whole ummah, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal and practice on this. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.